The Gospel of Matthew, chapter 1, in verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. And then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. So all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. And then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took to him his wife, and did not know her until she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. December is a difficult month for a lot of people. The focus on a holiday adds to the family stresses that we live with all year. Financial pressure, relationship difficulties, depression, any number of unresolved issues. Christmas is for encouragement for all who are struggling with the issues of life. And Joseph, his experience is helpful. Pausing to look at the husband of Mary and the stepfather of her son, Jesus, puts our troubles in perspective. Joseph doesn't get much ink in the Bible. We know he was a carpenter, primarily because people refer to Jesus as the carpenter's son. He's not mentioned again after the birth narratives. It appears that he died sometime before Jesus' public ministry began, and still Joseph has something to say to troubled people. As we consider this very familiar Christmas passage, I want to focus on nine words. Well, I guess nine words in the New King James, and maybe more or less in your copy if it's different. In verse 18, it says, before they came together, she was found with child. Joseph's life got interrupted. Joseph and Mary were betrothed, and that was more than what we call engagement today. It was a formal step in the marriage process. It was legally binding. It required a divorce to end that relationship of betrothal. You couldn't just call off the wedding. And if a woman's fiancé died, she was considered a widow. After the betrothal begins, for the next year, the bride continued to live with her parents, and her mother would prepare her for all the responsibilities of marriage. And then, on an unannounced day, the husband would go to his bride's house, get his wife, and take her to his own home, where the marriage would be physically consummated, and life together would begin. But in their relationship, before they came together, she was found with child. You live in a small town where everyone knows everyone else's business. You're engaged, and your fiancé comes and tells you, I've got some good news, and I've got some bad news. The bad news is, I'm pregnant. The good news is, even though you're not the father, I have not been unfaithful. What? You're what? But you haven't... So how could... And what did you say about the Holy Spirit? Yeah, I know it sounds crazy, but an angel came to me and said, Mary, you have found favor with God, and you're going to have a baby conceived by the Holy Spirit. It's safe to say that Joseph struggled with this bit of news. A teenage girl turns up pregnant. Since the beginning of time, there's only one way that could happen. So what were his emotions? Well, he probably felt anger, pain, disappointment, betrayal, shame, and a whole lot of embarrassment. Joseph was a very troubled man at that moment. You know, do any of those emotions seem familiar this Christmas season? A no-win situation at work, and you just can't see a happy ending. A relationship you've fought for is ending, and you can't salvage it. You've been lied about by someone wanting to hurt you, and there's nothing you can do about it. What now? Life has many interruptions in many ways. Employment issues can bring great interruptions to your life. Health can become an interruption. Finances can certainly become a great interruption. Relationships, possessions, ministry can take turns and twists, and interruption can come. I think back to my own life and the successful business career that I began. It seems like so long ago, nearly 40 years ago, way up in New England, Massachusetts, when I went to work for a computer company, and I just had great success rising up through the ranks of management to the point that they transferred me to Miami, Florida, and promoted me to be a regional manager for Latin America. What a responsibility. And it kept getting better. In 7 years, 8 years, I had something like 8 or 9 little promotions to different areas of responsibility. I had just received a great evaluation that everything was going great. 15 years had come and gone, and my career was just doing wonderful. It was right on track where we were supposed to be going. And then all of a sudden, the Financial Times took their toll on the company, and I got laid off. 1 month after I received my review of being outstanding and everything great, receiving a 15-year award pin, exactly 1 month later, I was laid off. What an interruption. Life's interruptions, they seem bad at first. Man, many times, from our perspective, they are bad. But they always lead into a new aspect of God's plan. Some interruptions come by tragic events. Some bring lifestyle changes. Some introduce personal suffering. Interruptions come in many forms, but they all always lead into a new aspect of God's plan. The important truth to remember is that God either causes or allows the interruptions in your life. And He does it for His purposes. And life can have multiple interruptions. I trust that everyone here is a believer in Jesus Christ. If you're not, well, you need to become one. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, then you had an interruption somewhere along the way where God intervened and your life was changed. Changed forever. That old life was gone. It's a whole new life. I had that. March 28, 1981. That was part of the reason God took me to Miami, Florida. Couldn't get my attention in New England for some reason. I've relocated 4 times over my adult life. To new people, to new jobs, different kinds of lifestyles. Complete career change from the business world into ministry. In the face of each interruption, we're called to continue to minister within God's grace, to continue to live in His grace. I'm right in the middle of an interruption in my life right now. I mentioned earlier that I'm no longer the pastor after 19 years. I don't know where God's taking it, but what I do know is that God is in control and He's taking it somewhere. He'll let me know when He wants me to know. Until then, I have to trust Him and follow. Don't miss this. God's interruptions are beyond our control. If they're within our control, listen, they're not God's interruptions. They're our interruptions. God's life interruptions are beyond your control. And second, they make permanent changes in your life. It may seem to be a small thing, but they make permanent changes in your life. What you get to decide is how you will handle them. God's interruption in my business career dramatically changed my lifestyle, taking me through seminary into pastoral ministry over the past 22 years. Now, here's another interesting thing to consider as we look at the life of Joseph and of Mary. Very often, it is actually another person's interruption that becomes yours. A family member becomes ill and requires special care. Their life is interrupted. and your life is interrupted. Out of your control, permanently changed. The primary provider loses his or her job, and others have to pick up the slack. Their life is interrupted, and so is yours. In our text, it was Mary's interruption that produced the interruption in Joseph's life. If you want to look in your Bible, you can turn over to Luke chapter 1 and verse 26, where it says, "Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, 'Rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women.' But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, 'Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God, and behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great, and will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end.' And then Mary said to the angel, 'How can this be, since I do not know a man?' And the angel answered and said to her, 'The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also the Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God.'" The encouragement to proceed with life in the wake of an interruption calls for faith. God reveals His plan to the degree that He determines necessary. Sometimes a command comes with explanation, and sometimes a command comes all alone, without any explanation. The issue is what you do with it. Will you respond, or will you resist? Let me give you three things to consider. Number one, encouragement is hindered by human reasoning. Verse 19, it says, "Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly." It says, "being a just man." Just man is a Hebrew expression used to describe a man who is totally committed to keeping the law and is obedient to God's commands without compromise. No unclean food, no violation of the Sabbath, and no inappropriate behavior. Everyone in Nazareth knew Joseph. He would have been admired and respected. He was somebody in the community. And now, this righteous man had a problem. He was engaged to a woman who was pregnant, and he wasn't the father. He knew what he was to do next. Deuteronomy 22 and verse 21 says, "Then they shall bring out the young woman to the door of her father's house, and the men of her city shall stone her to death with stones, because she has done a disgraceful thing in Israel, to play the harlot in her father's house. So you shall put away the evil from among you." Even if Joseph sought the advice of the other men in town, the council wouldn't change. Mary had to be punished for her sin. Joseph's faith was really being tested. Would he be obedient to the scriptures? Were there any other options for him? Divorce. He would be separated from the sin, and his reputation would be intact. And that's what we're going to do. That's how we'll handle it. But even if he did that, Mary may still be stoned to death for her immorality. Joseph lived with this tension. On the one hand, and over. And then the angel showed up. And that brings us to the second thing I want you to see here. Encouragement is established with God's word. In verses 20 and 21, it says, "But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, 'Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins.'" Now, why did the angel say, "Do not be afraid"? I don't think he said it because Joseph was seeing an angel. I don't think it was the consequences of disobeying the word of God that made things afraid. You know what I believe? I believe it was all about losing his reputation and his status in the community. I believe it was related to what people would think. We know that based upon what he was thinking and trying to do. I believe he was afraid of believing and marrying Mary. Nazareth was a small town. The word would eventually get out, if it hadn't already. Joseph's life was changing, and he couldn't do anything about it. It was out of his control. The angel told him that what Mary told him was really true. Now Joseph has this dilemma on his hands. Try to hold on to his reputation, or follow God's plan for his life. Live a blemished life for God in a small town where people don't forget. What's it going to be? That brings me to the final thing I want to share from this passage. Number 3, encouragement is experienced in our obedience. Verses 24 and 25, again, then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took to him his wife, and did not know her till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Joseph woke up, got dressed, and went to go get his bride. Though no one in Nazareth would ever know, Joseph did not consummate the marriage physically until after Jesus was born. And then he legally claimed the baby as his own. Joseph trusted his life to God's power to do the impossible. He married the pregnant girl and fathered her child because it was revealed to him that it was God's plan for him. What impact do you suppose that decision had on his children when they later learned of it? Every day, those closest to us are watching to see what is most important to us. Our reputation or our obedience? Maintaining the status quo or being a part of the scandal that is God's love? What are the applications of Joseph's life? First of all, a life interrupted is not a life destroyed. You may be convinced that your life is over because a job is over, a relationship has ended, or a chapter in your life has ended. But God is not destroying you. He's using your circumstances to begin something new in your life. Second, miracles sometimes involve suffering. Receiving God's salvation in Jesus Christ will not grant you immunity from future pain and turmoil in your life. Joseph's decision to obey God's plan opened his life in that small town to potential rejection and criticism. Mark chapter 6 and verse 3 says, "Is this not the carpenter, the son of Mary, and brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us?" You know what? That's a very polite way of calling Jesus an illegitimate child. Joseph is not identified as the father. In Jewish society, whether the father's alive or dead, his children are listed as his children. These are all listed as Mary's children. Joseph's not mentioned. There's good reason to believe that the story maybe already got out. And then third, obedience is always better than escape. Some of us here this morning may be facing a situation where the easy way out is not the path that God would choose for us. What are you going to do? What will you do? The journey of life is not guided by the path of least resistance, but by the path of obedience, no matter the cost. If God has brought interruption to your life, I encourage you to do the right thing, even if doing the right thing is the hardest thing that you've ever done. Will you choose to follow God's plan, even if it means giving up what you value the most?